Today we have a session. We call it a session. Now we call it. What do you call it?
This one is a session.
It's a session.
Yeah, for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jam masters, get your pens, your papers ready,
yes.
Guys.
Yes.
We have a certain young man who we're just going to start off immediately and just ask him this question.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm your friend, actually.
Good.
I'm your friend. Because, yes. and I must say this on air, the last time I met Charles Carey was on theater. Not the one of Operation.
Yeah.
Theater, Mbalamwezi Players.
Wow.
But the last time I met Martin was in a pub. Let's be clear. So, so I'm their friend. They've invited me here for us to talk, but I am giving you the time. So I wear many feathers. I'm a father. I am I'm a husband.
Yes.
I'm a brother. I'm a friend. I am working at, forget about where I'm working.
Yes,
actually.
Please.
I am a man of the soil. That's what I am.
A man of the soil.
A man of the soil. I'm an actor, by the way. I was in theater for many years when I was in medical school.
Yeah.
I have a witness right here.
Charles Gary.
I love to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, occasionally you'll find me in a good pub. That's where I met this
Martin
one.
Karaoke, yes.
So I'm an easy person.
Yes.
And I like to have fun. I love friends. I love political activism, and I like social justice, most importantly.
Super.
And the only reason I do political activism is for the purposes of using politics to achieve social justice. That's
wow.
who I am.
Wow. That's
that's a deep.
Well, from a pub to social justice.
To social justice,
that's,
my friend.
That's how it goes.
Wow.
That's life. But yeah. Well, we'll come back and find out more about this young man who I met at a pub last.
And you tell us when that was. By
no, no, so that's the, not Kitambo. That's the other day, like, just the other day, we were discussing social justice.
Martin was discussing social justice.
Where else do you discuss these things before they become actual?
Yes. Gitahi, I must congratulate you, because what we discussed with Martin in a pub is not what it is.
Look, we were socializing,
yes.
And we wanted justice. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Gerenji Gitahi is in the building.
I'm so happy to see
he will
you
tell
again.
Us what he's doing currently, but we'll start off with where he started his life,
yes.
And how he got to where he is. This is our Jam Master today, so stay tuned, guys. Please get your pen, your paper, if you have a pad, or if you have a good memory, which we don't have here in this studio.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself.
Okay, what happened yesterday?
Exactly, what happened by the way?
There you go.
This is 98.4 Capital FM, and I'm hanging out with Charles and Martin. This is Don Williams.
Love it.
Yes, that's,
that's a big voice.
That's a big voice.
Sounds, it sounds like a voice that used to be on country roads.
I'm looking for a job.
You're looking for a job. We're looking at your CV here, and Martin and I are saying, hey, Modo.
Yeah.
By the time we start going through that, and then we go back to school, we'll be Kendo 75.
But let's
Karibu
move. It's Jam Masters. We've got the master himself here.
Yeah.
Dr. Gedenji Gitahi here is gonna. By the way, what is your role now in society, in terms of work?
I'm the global CEO for AMREF Health Africa globally.
Wow.
Globe, guys, globe. Not the cinema or the roundabout.
Yeah,
globe, as in the
globe,
world.
Yeah, globe.
Now, how does one get to where you are? How did you start? How did it all begin?
Hey, that's a long story, but how long is this show?
Ah, it's short.
It's not even short. Yeah.
Well, I started 52 years ago. I'll be 52 in August. Eh?
So, are you serious? You're
yeah,
20?
Yeah. No, I'll be 52 in August.
Uh-huh.
Eh? Yeah.
Wow.
And up in the hills and valleys of Nyeri, that's where I was born, to a family of 9 people. So I'm born number 9 in my family. So I'm Uko Nyuma.
So you're 52.
Yeah.
You're the last born, and you're 9.
Exactly.
So old is
so unaweza angalia. So
and hopefully this staircase, eh?
Year and a half. 2 years. Like
wow.
that. Like that. Like
wow.
that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. My mother is she's the Don. She's
strong.
The yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kitambo, very strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Godmother. So I started school there, out there, and I went my primary school, my high school was in Nyeri High School, where I learned how to shrub completely. That's where I was taught how to shrub, because it was just district focus. Everyone was in the same school, was from the same village. So you're like, Kelly, you know? And everyone moves on, you know?
It's all right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, even your teacher comes to class and says, Kelly.
Yes, the guys of Grigasha, not hey, the culture. Today we are doing Bedeki and Grigasha.
Bedeki.
Bedeki's physics.
Tukumbucha tuliongea nini njana. So, we went through it. Then I went to Mangu High School. And then yes. I found guys from, you know, it's cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
That's where I went for my high school. And then I remember opening my mouth one day. We had a meeting. And everyone was on the floor laughing. And I'm wondering, why are these guys laughing? And I, you know, so say it again. I say it. And guys are just laughing. I had no idea. That's the first time I learned the word shrubbing. Like, I had no idea. What's this? What are people talking about? What's the difference between R and L?
Yeah.
So I went through that. Then I came to the University of Nairobi, did my medical degree. Then I practiced a bit. And then I diversified to public health. So that's my journey. But, you know, it's a long journey. But I think, you know, back to what Martin is asking, what I think got me where I am is adversity and resilience. It's just learning to swim. And number two is the values that my mother gave me of good character and respect. Just those two things. Those two things then combine into an attitude of you just want to deliver. And you, as long as you just want to deliver,
yeah,
people see that. And when people see that, they want to work with you. I call it the line of least resistance. So even at work, if people see that if I send this guy to do a job, he delivers without asking anything.
Right.
You know, I say on Sunday there's an emergency, come and you're there. The next time there's a promotion, they're more likely to say, that's the guy we should give this job because he always delivers. So that for me is the summary of my journey. And that's why I got where I am, where I am. No godfathers. Nothing. Even when I went to AMREF, I had no idea they applied for the job. Nobody even told me to apply for it. I was just called by somebody saying, we have a job here. Do you mind applying for it? I don't think I've actually, not I don't think, I am certain, the only job I applied for was my first job in 1998. Every other job has been a referral.
Which was what?
Avenue Hospital.
Okay. I remember that.
Yes. When I was at Avenue.
Yes.
I applied. I wanted to leave government and go to private sector. Yeah. I applied. I was interviewed and I got a job. Since then, I've never applied for a job. I've always been called or referred to apply for a job.
Sheesh. 1998 is 24 years ago, if I'm not wrong.
You're right, actually. Yeah.
For 24 to...
I was 28. I was 28.
24 years, you've never called to apply for a job.
No.
Wow. Jam Master, Dr. Gidenji Gita is in the building. We're going to be talking about his theater. And of course, we're going to be also chatting about this thing called COVID and vaccines.
Capital FM. We are so honored today to be with somebody really, really special who's actually impacted the lives of many people in this country, especially during the COVID time when Kenyans needed reassurance and assurance about what's going on, what's happening. Are we going to get out of this one day? This is what the real reality of life is.
First of all, let's just go through his titles again.
Martin.
This is Dr. Gidenji Getahi, MBS, father, husband, GCEO, AMREF Africa. That means global CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Commissioner, Africa COVID-19, serves in the Africa CDC Board, Women Lift, SMG, Safaricom Foundation, Unilever Special Counsel, and God's Servant. Now, the last one is a big one, God's Servant. Public service, public health.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you got into, did you just start updating people on COVID by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it part of you being part of the Commission of Africa COVID?
No, it was personal passion. It was just myself. So when this thing started coming up, I started to study a lot about it and started to look around, and therefore I had a voice to contribute. I had knowledge to contribute. And therefore you guys, the media, started to call me, because then I was tweeting about it. I was talking about it on my Facebook's platform, Instagram. So that's how it came. It was personal effort, completely personal effort. But then what happened is that, like, now my appointment as commissioner of the COVID-19 commission was after my contribution.
Yeah.
It wasn't pre.
Uh-huh.
But I've always been on the Africa CDC board. But more recently now, I've been appointed to the Pandemic Preparedness Council, which is called CEPI, just because of my work. So again, it's just personal effort and passion.
So it's initiative. What you said before.
Yes.
You being available for something, you're already doing it before, then it happens.
It happens. And yeah. then also, the, you know, this thing I call social justice gives you a bag of wanting to help people constantly. You want to. So when I see people struggling, I'm like, no, this is the way you're supposed to do it. When I started contributing to COVID, I still remember it was a Saturday of Easter, and two of my friends called me and said their fathers had collapsed.
Oh,
and that's the day I said, what is going on? And I did a video on how people need to watch out for confusion in elderly people. I talked about how to use a pulse oximeter. And I put that video on my Twitter page just out of wanting to save people. And somebody called me and said, hey, pulse oximeters are going over the pharmacy. What's going on? It wasn't because somebody told me, go do this video and post. Because, no, it's just, I just wondered, how can my friends lose their fathers? How many other people who don't know me are losing their fathers?
Exactly.
So out of, completely out of personal initiative.
So where are we now? Because everyone says, you know, during COVID, it's like it's over. Where are we now?
Yeah.
As the public, especially in Kenya, with this whole pandemic.
So where we are is that we are in the middle of the pandemic. Okay. Whereas the number of infections may have waned, and we don't know for how long, the virus is still circulating. Even now, we still have positive cases every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think yesterday we had a 1%, positivity rate, meaning out of every 100 tests done, one was positive. Meaning out of every 1,000, 10 are positive. So the virus is still around. It's not gone anywhere. So the question to ask ourselves is, how do we keep the virus at bay so that it doesn't accelerate to infect many people? That's why we must still continue to be careful about social distancing where we can. Of course, we want to allow economic activity. But the most important thing is, because the virus is still here and you don't know when it triggers and reaches a tipping point and infects more people and comes to you, are you vaccinated? That's really the question to ask.
Yeah.
Not to bother, is a pandemic here or not? It's about, am I prepared if the virus was to come? How do I burglar-proof myself and my family? Get vaccinated.
So let's talk about vaccines. Very many things have happened when people have got the vaccines. People have said they've suffered, the people I know, major hangovers. Others have suffered what you call migraines.
The people you know are more likely to have hangovers from other sources.
That's what I was saying.
Exactly.
That's what I... others have said that their monthlies have become worse. Their period has become worse. Others have said like their blood pressure shot up. Now, is there any truth to all this, what people are talking about? Is it in your head?
You see, it's always important to follow science. And science says that any relationships that you find must be studied and confirmed. Because if I say, if I walk out of this studio and I go and I get hit by a car, I can't say I got hit by a car because I was at Capital FM.
No.
Okay.
Good.
Very so you have to then look at how many people left this situation and went and got around. Then you're like, oh, is there a link? That's what we call
a causal
link.
Yeah.
Is there a relation? Then you study. And we know that there are side effects that are related to the vaccines, and you can clearly say this one is because of vaccination. But this other one is not because of vaccination.
So what side effects are this?
So we know, for example, that there was an association between vaccination and clotting. That was studied, and it was shown that there is a link, but it was very low, but there was a link. But it was really, really low. We know also that, there were relationships of vaccinations and people getting an inflammation of the muscle of the heart, something called myocarditis. Again, very, very low. And those, there was a causal link. But this other, there's no causal link. There is none. So people say those are called coincidences. And some of them may be related by other factors. For example, we know that if I'm a woman and I'm stressed, it's likely that my cycle will change. It happens. You know, before exams, you say, you know, maybe you're... So if you're stressed because you received a vaccine, you had pain, you had high fever, it's likely that your cycle could change because of that stress. But is there a causal link with the vaccine itself? None has been proven through science. So this is what we need to keep in mind.
Another question that came through from a couple of friends was, and actually people here at Capital, was about a sixth wave that we've been hearing about here in Africa. Do you believe that we will experience a sixth wave of COVID?
You see, it goes back to what I said earlier, that viruses don't go anywhere. They're not eliminated. Uh-huh. Viruses remain. In fact, after infecting people, the only reason COVID infected us as it did is because it is new. And our immunity is naive. It has never seen that virus before. So it therefore just came and found an unprepared body. Over time, we build immunity, either by being infected earlier or being vaccinated. The virus doesn't go anywhere. What changes is the immunity in our body, what we call the host condition. Now, Are we likely to get a sixth wave? Yes, of course, because the virus is still here. So it will still do another wave, whether it will be big or small, you don't know. So we know that South Africa had a small wave that went up and down. Is Kenya going to have one? I looked at yesterday's positivity. We were at 1%. Before, we've been at 0.5, 0.4. Mm-hmm. Is it likely that the rise from 0.5 to 1 is actually an indicator that we are going to get into a sixth wave? It's possible. Until we see the trends, we can't say. So it's likely we may get a sixth wave. Yeah. The biggest question is when the wave comes and you get infected, because you will, because the virus, you can't avoid the virus, mm-hmm. it's in the air. Are you vaccinated? Do you have the adequate immunity to ensure that when the virus infects you, you don't get severe disease and end up in hospital? So people should stop worrying about what they can't control. You can't control the virus. Yeah. You can limit it, but you can't control it. But can you control your immunity? Yes, by getting vaccinated. So focus on what you can control.
So when we come back, we shall discuss stigma. COVID-19 stigma. There's a friend of mine called Martin Sunday who was actually sent in a small question here. I want Doc to look at it and think about his response before we get into it. But Martin, I never knew you're that intelligent. These Martins are very serious people. Very serious. Hold up. I have a question.
Listen to these guys.
Last question.
No, Martin Luther King.
Yeah, who was recording the videos? How did you know to hold the phone?
I was just doing it myself. Even if you look at the videos, hold like this and say, you know, people, there is this and
nobody this. Coached you?
Nope.
You don't have dad nini selfie?
Well, my daughters have been part of it. They showed me how to do a selfie.
Well done. Thank you so much for the truth.
You know, get time. Yeah, it's the moment to beat the fifth floor. It's like everything just goes south. How did you know how to hold the phone? Why did you ask me that question?
It is discrimination by age.
No, Gitahi knows my name, by the way. He knows that little name. Yeah, we come from back in the disclosure. Sam Smith, that is Omen, 8 minutes to 5 o'clock. Martin Karaoke is here.
Of course, I'm here, yes. Yes. Right, yeah, correct.
And Dr. Gitahi Garenji.
I am on the jam with the jam master.
Himself.
We quickly want to ask him. There's a friend of mine, Martin Sunday, was just asked to what extent was COVID-19 related stigma a challenge in the COVID response, the impact on first responders and adhering to policy by citizens?
Huge. It was huge, especially when we started, because people didn't understand. You remember that when we started, WHO and the government's advice, for example, that people need to be buried differently, for example.
Yeah.
Then also we said when you have a fever and you call the hotline, you are sent an ambulance that comes with all lights blaring and everything. Uh-huh. And the whole neighborhood knows if an ambulance comes, you have COVID.
Yeah.
We have incidences. I was told of a very sad story in Muranga where this guy had COVID and the entire village decided you can't even go and shop in the shops where we pick our salt and sugar from. So that whole family could not get resources, could not get food actually because of stigma. What that did is that it made people fear to admit they have COVID. It made people fear to go for testing.
Uh-huh.
It made people disappear from quarantine and isolation centers. You saw guys jumping over the wall. That was stigma. They're trying to run away. So it actually affected negatively the response.
Did all the, what is it called? You paying for your jail term, as we were calling it, also affect the response? Because I remember we were fearing to go into the centers because it was expensive.
Yes, and that should never be, because remember that the real purpose of putting you in isolation or in quarantine, which people saw as jail at that point, was not for your own benefit. Because you, we'll take you to hospital if you're sick, and you get treated. Why were you in isolation or quarantine? It was for public good.
To
protect other people so that we limit your infection so that you don't infect others.
Exactly.
So why should you pay for public good?
Wow.
So we should never ever have charged, and we must never ever charge individuals for public health and population based measures like quarantine and isolation. You never ever. So that was a mistake, and we should never repeat it.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I think most of the questions are answered with regard to COVID, but I think there's one major question from a young man sitting across you, Charles Kiare, wants to know stuff about theater. Charles.
Well, I mean, I got a scholarship to study media and dramatic arts. I mean, remember when I got that scholarship? But mostly it's, I remember watching you on Story Yangu.
Mm.
And then at some point, was it after Mangu High School or where you went to Which school?
When I go to the university.
University, exactly. That's when you call Peter Mudamba.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
The progression.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, especially when I was in Nyeri High School, you remember the drama festivals?
No, those are huge.
That is actually the bedrock of art. Because that's where people discover their talent.
Yeah.
So I was an active dancer in Nyeri High School. Drama dancing. Used to go to the nationals, and I used to sing my local vernacular language, and until my voice broke, because I couldn't sing anymore. And I was singing the female. I was playing a female soloist, and my voice broke, and then I dropped out. But I loved theater. Went to Mangu, you know, not very artistic, more science-driven, you know, just study. And then I come to the university, and I watched a show of Mbala Mwezi at the National Theater, and my dreams came alive. And I looked for Mbala Mwezi, which you are a member of, met Mudamba and said, I have to do this, and Musumba, and I have to do this. And finally, they called me for audition, and there I was. I became a member of Mbala Mwezi, and I have good memories being on stage with you, Charles Carey, Lorna Irungu, may she rest in eternal peace, you know, Jimmy Ganthu, and other greats.
Great, many.
And even now, if you call me back to theater to do a show, I will do it. I challenge you.
We are in the same group, you know that.
Yes.
Mbala Mwezi.
We are. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So if I was to ask all the past Mbala Mwezi guys who are still with us to come in and do a play about, say, what your experiences have been in the last 10 years, call it from fourth floor to the fifth. I'm challenging you guys to come up with a play called From Fourth Floor to the Fifth, where there's all the CEOs who are Mbala Mwezi, and even shows up, and we have a whole play, and we can actually use that money for social justice representation.
Absolutely. And we have script writers.
We have script writers. Very
we
good
have Abuto, Mudamba, Musumba was a really, still is a great script writer. Mudamba is still a great script writer. Yeah. So it's possible.
So I'm giving you guys that challenge. Capital FM can be your media partner. We are going to force it. That's going to happen in the next. How long, guys, do you think it can take? 3 months? 2 months?
Probably wait after elections. Everybody
after elections.
That.
After elections.
What if we did something about the elections before so that we can teach people something?
No human is limited.
But yeah.
I like that one.
Thank you so much. But like quickly, about AMREF, what projects are you on right now? What's going on?
Well, AMREF is a continent-wide organization. It is the largest Africa-based international NGO. And our work is on health. We work in 35 countries in Africa. We have about 2,000 staff, just shy of 2,000 staff.
Wow.
And our programs are in all those countries, working closely with government, and most importantly, empowering communities, building communities, demand to the health system, and then strengthening the health system to ensure when you go, there's a nurse, there's a midwife, there are medicines, and there are community health workers that assist families to know when to boil water, when to, you know, what sanitation they need, what to eat, the importance of breastfeeding, the importance of family planning. That's what we do across the continent, including ensuring reduced infection rates for HIV, TB, malaria. So we are doing a lot of work across the continent.
Jesus Christ.
We spend about 25 billion shillings a year. So we are a sizable organization.
Wow.
Yeah. So and quietly so, because following people, you know, people you've been with, you know, and somebody actually told me, I've worked with this guy, Gitahi. He's not those CEOs, you know, those ones who sit in the office and just pick up the phone and say, where are you, Ebukujapa?
And then he goes to the steam bath.
Yes, cool, goes to the steam bath. Gitahi wakes up and says, what's going on? And then he goes to the field with the people.
That's fantastic.
Yes, you know, I just came from South Sudan last
person,
week.
Actually.
Yes, I am. That's, I love the field. The field gives me the fire in my belly.
I love that.
Yeah. So if one day, let's say next year or August 20th, someone who has won the election was to come and
don't ask that question. Don't ask that question.
Why?
Don't ask that question.
You are running global.
Don't ask that
Kenya
question.
Kenya needs you.
Don't ask that question.
I come in and I say, listen, Tai, I need you as CS Health.
It's quite interesting because people say that, by the way, because you're so good in this, so now you can run government.
Yes.
You're like, well,
we need
what?
You for another 10 years, CS Health. What will you say?
And then 5 years from now, Martin is tweeting, this leader, how did you be elected in the first place? Who, Gitahi? I thought he's your friend.
No, he's not been elected, isn't he? He's been appointed. Don't forget. There's no election.
Yeah.
Appointment. May I have to ask? And it has come from someone very close.
I serve this country in the public health every day. Yeah. I am inside the policies of government. I support government every single day. And I think actually the role I play in supporting Ministry of Health, Community Services, policy making, and across the continent is a much bigger impact than actually just going to sit and serve one country.
Good answer. That was fantastic. So you can serve in the AU. We'll give you that rule.
No human is limited.
Also, quickly. No,
there are some things, Mazi. If Ministry of Health, where can I help? The Moi regime, eh? The Minister of Agriculture is told to run the military.
The military is to eat. What's the problem? Just as we conclude, if you were to talk to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell them about life in general? A young doctor coming up, what would you advise this young doctor?
I would say that the world is your canvas. That do not limit yourself by what you study. Do not limit yourself by what you know. Learn every day, because what you may not know today, you'll know tomorrow. And what you know today may not be of service to you. But what you know tomorrow may be what is of service to you. So learn continuously, all the time, and always listen to your gut. Because I have a lot of young doctors who are like, I am studying this and I'm going to be in medicine. I have a lot of people who come to me and ask, you studied for 7 years and then you left and you went, you know, to other places. So I am where I am because I listen to my gut. I want to serve people. I want social justice. I want public health. And I moved out of the theater and the clinic to serve the world. So listen to your gut, but remember that opportunity always serves the prepared. So learn all the time.
Let me tell you, that is deep. So let's end this with a light note. Shout outs, because you might be beaten if you don't do it.
Angela is laughing.
Kwa
bibi yangu, nataka kutuma salamu kwako, salamu na mapenzi. And to all the staff of Amref Health Africa, who actually serve humanity across the continent and across the world, heshima, I respect you and I love you. And to my children, you make me who I am.
Very Gem good. Master,
very good. That
himself,
one, that one
doctor.
Is, that one is, you know, very quickly. Gitahi Githenji from William Shakespeare. The world is a stage, and we are all still right now actors in it.
Absolutely.
Hey!
Straight up.
That is
straight
advice. Advice from Noah's Ark itself. Listen to it. You will always stay afloat. Martin Karaoke, the year 2022. Cheers, guys. Shout out to people at Amref as well.
Yeah,
Vania Kibui.
Yes.
Your boss. Your boss is here and he has said you do a good job. Now we believe you.
You'll get a pay rise. Salary increment by yourself.